Give Me the Bible. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate you leading us in that beautiful hymn and for setting the tone for our study this evening titled, Give Me the Bible. You see, when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, Give Me the Bible. For when it comes to spiritual matters, more than the Bible is too much. And less than the Bible is not enough. Therefore, when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, Give Me the Bible. So with that thought in mind, I want to take just a few moments this afternoon to share with you a few reasons for why our plea should always be, Give Me the Bible. And I begin this afternoon by suggesting to you that our plea should always be, Give Me the Bible, because the Bible is the only book that is inspired by God. Did you know that? Did you know that there is only one book that is all inspired by God? There is. That book is the Bible. And our plea should always be because the Bible is the only book that is all inspired by God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Just as Michael informed us as he was reading the scripture there from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse number 16. And did you notice as Michael was reading that scripture for us there from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, how the Apostle Paul, how he made it very clear that all scripture is given how? By the inspiration of God. You know what that means? It means that it has been God-breathed. It means that God Himself is the source of all Scripture. And notice what Paul goes on to tell us about the all-inspired Word of God. Notice what he tells us. He tells us that it's profitable. It's of much benefit, isn't it? Why? Because he says it's profitable for doctrine. That is, it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. That is, it's profitable in convincing one of the wrong. It's profitable for correction. That is, it is proper in setting a man aright. And we see that it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. It simply instructs one in regard to that which is right. And that's why when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, Give me the Bible. For it is the only book that is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is the only book that is able to thoroughly equip man. That is able to thoroughly equip man for every good work. Did you know that? And it is because of that our plea should always be, Give me the Bible. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that our plea should always be, Give me the Bible, because there is no other book more true than the Bible. You see, the Bible, the all-inspired Word of God, it is not a book of fiction, but rather it is a book of truth. And there is no other book available to mankind that is more true than the Bible. Think about what the psalmist said there in Psalm 119, 160. In reference to God's Word, he said, the entirety or the sum of thy word is what? Truth. Did you catch that? You see, the psalmist, he didn't say some of your word is truth. But he, in reference to the word of God, said the sum of thy word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. Jesus confirmed the fact that God's word is truth there in John chapter 17 and verse 17 likewise, didn't he? As good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there in John chapter 17. We're familiar with Jesus' prayer to his Father in heaven. And do you remember, as he was praying for his chosen disciples, what he said? Sanctify them by your truth. Why? Sanctify them by your truth, by your word. For your word is truth. Jesus recognized the fact that God's word is truth. And his plea was for his chosen disciples to be sanctified by that. We learn there in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, the fact that it's impossible for God to do something. What is that? What's it impossible for God to do? To lie. Did you know that? The Hebrews writer makes us aware of that. The fact that it's impossible for God to lie. And that is why when it comes to spiritual matters, again, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. For there is no other book more true than the Bible. But I also suggest to us this evening that when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible, for there is no other book more pure than the Bible. Did you know that? You see, the word pure simply denotes something that is not mixed, something that is not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. It denotes something that is free from contamination. And did you know? God's word, it is without the mixture of falsehood. It is free from any contamination of falsehood. It is pure and free from the folly or uncertainty of any word of man. And that's why when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because there is no other book more pure. Notice what the psalmist says about this there in Psalm 12 and verse 6. It's recorded there that the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. We go on to see there in Psalm 119 verse 140. Again, the psalmist said, your word is very pure. And notice with me, go there to Proverbs chapter 30. And notice these words of wisdom. Picking up here in verse number 5. It reads, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words. Why? Lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Think about that. You see, the Bible, God's inspired word, it is pure. It is pure and we don't need to add from it or take away from it because God's word is very pure. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to recognize the need that God's word, it doesn't need any changing, does it? It doesn't need any changing. And we must not add to it or take away from it. For as we learned here this warning in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, do not add to his words lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that our plea should always be, give me the Bible, because there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible is perfect? You see, the Bible is perfect. It is complete. It is without blemish. And as we've already mentioned, it needs no change. Notice with me the words of the psalmist found there in Psalm 19 and verse 7. There he says, the law of the Lord is, watch it, perfect, converting the soul. He goes on to say, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see, God's word, it is perfect. It is complete. And it is without blemish and needs no change. When I think about the word of God being perfect, I'm mindful of the words of James found there in James chapter 1 and verse number 25. And there in James chapter 1 and verse 25, James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, what is that? God's word. He says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be what? Blessed in what he does. You see that? You see, as is sometimes mentioned, we need to be mindful of the fact that God's word, it is perfect. And it is because of that, we must not just let it go in one ear and out the other. But rather, we must be a people who make proper application of it in our lives. For as we see here in James chapter 1 and verse number 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and what? Continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. James says he's the one who will be blessed. Remember that. And May your plea always be, give me the Bible, knowing that there is no other book more perfect than the Bible. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that our plea should always be, give me the Bible, for there is no other book more powerful than the Bible. Did you know this book that you're holding in your hand right now that we call the Bible? Did you know that this book is the most powerful book available? Did you know that? Did you know that there is no other book available to mankind that is as powerful as this book that we call the Bible that we're holding in our hand right now? You see, the Bible, it is powerful. God's Word is powerful. We learn about this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And remember what Paul said there? He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Did you catch that? Paul declared he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because he recognized that it was the power of God unto salvation. And you want to know something? The gospel of Christ is still this very day the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's important to note that that Greek word that is translated dunamis is the Greek word that we find there for powerful in that text. And you know where that word comes from, what it means? It comes from the word that we're familiar with today that means dynamite. Think about that. We all know how powerful a stick of dynamite can be, right? We all recognize the power in dynamite and how powerful it is. And when you put it in perspective, that's what Paul says is how powerful the gospel of Christ is. It's powerful. Powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. When I think about the powerful Word of God, I can't help but to think about the words of the Hebrews writer found recorded there for us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Go with me there for a moment. And there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, notice these words of the Hebrews writer. He said, "For the Word of God is what? Living and powerful." He goes on to say, "And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Think about that. Here we see God's Word and its penetrating power being depicted as sharper than a two-edged sword. Let that marinate for a moment. The Hebrews writer is depicting the Word of God and the power of it being sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, again, God's Word is just as powerful today as it was when the Hebrews writer penned these words. The Word of God is still this very day living and powerful. It's still this very day is that which has the power to move the hearts of men and women today. It is that which probes the thoughts and the intents of the mind. It's powerful. It's powerful. And it is because of that that when it comes to spiritual matters, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that our plea should always be, give me the Bible. Because it was written for our learning and it gives us hope. We learn about this there in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4. And notice these words of the inspired Apostle Paul. Paul said, "For whatever things were written before were written what? For our learning." Why? "That we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You see that? Again, examples are contained within the Bible to help us develop persevering endurance. We have a lot of those examples for us in regard to those things that were written before, right? Those things that were written in the Old Testament for our learning and the many valuable lessons that could be gained from those examples that are recorded for us. That gives us these lessons of persevering endurance. That gives us these lessons to remind us of the fact that we need to embrace and keep on keeping on, keeping our eye focused upon our hope. And what is that hope of the Christian? What is that? Heaven, right? That's our hope. Heaven. And when you think about, as the song even depicts in the hymn that we sung a few moments ago, when our heart is broken. And there's times when our hearts break, right? There's times when we get discouraged. And what did the hymn say in those times? Do what? Give me the Bible. Did you know that even in discouraging times, depressing times, that if you would just bury yourself in God's awe-inspired word, that you can find hope and comfort in your time of grief? Did you know that? It's true, isn't it? And that's why, again, when it comes to spiritual matters and when it comes to times when we need to be reminded of the hope that we have as God's children, that our plea needs to always be, give me the Bible. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that our plea should always be, give me the Bible. For the Bible is the only book that endures forever. Did you know that? Did you know that about the Bible? Did you know that the Bible, the Word of God, that it is everlasting, that it will endure forever? Notice what the prophet of old said about this in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. There he said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We go on to learn there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 25. Turn there with me for a moment. And notice these words of Peter found here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Here Peter says, beginning there in the verse number 25. He said, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Think about that. You see, God's word, it is everlasting, and it will endure forever. Therefore, our plea should always be, give me the Bible. These are just a few examples for why our plea should always be, give me the Bible. So once more, may your plea always be, give me the Bible. Another thing that's important about the Bible is the fact that the Bible reveals God's plan of salvation for man. You see, we learn here in the Bible that God desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And He has revealed His plan for man's salvation in this book we call the Bible. And maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that right now. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can become a child of God and have that hope of heaven. And may we all always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for forgiveness. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Bruce's Selection.